Right, hello and welcome to the fifth Manx Footy Pod of the new season. On today's podcast, myself and Dave.
Hi everyone.
Are joined by Brandon's Will Smith and Jamie Delaney. Plus, Dave caught up with Colby manager Chris McKenna after Saturday's big victory over Ramsey. Right, chaps, welcome to Podcast Towers on a very wet and rainy Friday lunchtime. We'll talk how it's already wreaked havoc with the podcast in a minute, Dave, won't we?
Well,
but thanks for coming in. Will, thanks for returning. We obviously didn't put you off too much after last November.
No problem.
And Jamie, welcome. I don't know what you had in your head, but it's probably not nowhere near as glamorous.
It's good to join an illustrious list of past guests.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you know, we've had many as the biscuits the other week. We had quite a few hits for that, so I think we're up to about 10 listeners now.
You've already mentioned today's drama, no biscuits.
Yeah.
It's shocking. So I think next time one of us covers one of your matches, we're going to
bring some biscuits down.
Yeah. So any preferences? So?
Chocolate ball.
Chocolate ball.
Hobnobs.
Hobnobs, yeah, I'm with Jamie.
Always a winner.
You asked about 20 minutes ago what we're going to do about biscuits when it was absolutely lashing it down, and I said, I can't be bothered going over the garage.
Yeah, our dedication is not quite
what not quite it where it should be, right? Yeah. But it's only early season. I feel we can build from this.
We're still warming up.
I can see why you're doing this and not out training.
Yeah. Right, of course, Will, I mentioned it then, we had you in November, relatively near the start of what was a championship-winning season, as you went on to scoop a second-tier treble, wasn't it?
In fine style as well, it wasn't just...
With a certain panache to it all.
It was,
Fast forward, I think we're nearly 11 months on now, and although the division's changed, at the moment the results seem to be the same, which, you know, you've had two wins from your first three games. You must be delighted with the start of the Premier League season.
Yeah, I think the teams that we're playing, you know, I don't think we've played the real force in the divisions yet, so we're looking forward to pitting ourselves against those. But, you know, when you sort of come up, it's the games that the teams are going to be in and around you that you've got to win. And so far, the lads have done that well. You know, we've had lads away as well, to be fair, and over the next couple of weeks. So it shows a bit of depth in the squad as well, which we need.
Yeah.
Because definitely we've not had a full team out yet this season. So I think that's even more positive from it, really, and still got the results.
It's very encouraging. And Jamie, I know we obviously say we've only been a couple of games into the season, but have you found the step up from playing in Division 2 to the Premier League?
I think the game against Laxey is an example. We started off well, 2-0 up, ended up losing quite heavily really on paper, but the game didn't really tell, well, the score didn't really tell the tale of the game. We just lost a few, four goals before half-time. Just missed out in those little battles, little crunch moments in the key areas, and I think that's the difference really. But as I said, since then, we've played a couple of the teams who were expecting to be down and around us, and we've come back on it, so, yeah.
Does that winning feeling from last season, does that help going into the new campaign?
I wouldn't say so much the winning feeling. We've got a really, for the last 2-3 years, it's been a process that we've gone through. And I told a lot of people that when we went up, we'd stay up. You have to build a style of football to go up, and we're playing the same way. You know, we're not changing too much to compensate for other teams. You've got to learn when you go up. You know, there's a lot of the lads that haven't played first division football. You know, we haven't got that much experience of it, but they're at the right age. And like Jamie said, when you have them games where, you know, things don't quite work out, the main thing is how you learn from them and come back the next week. They've done that really well.
Yeah, and you say some players haven't played the Premier League. You do have some that have. Cool. You must believe you've got like Lex O'Connor, who's been there before, done that, and he's already started the season well, hasn't he, as well as Pacey?
But you remember that these lads are only 21, 22.
Yeah.
So when we're talking experience, you know, they have a season or two, or, you know, they were in and around teams, but, you know, it's not 10 years, 12 years in the top division. So as much as they've had a taste of it, it's, you know.
Still, I think what I can say for the team, myself personally and the rest of the lads, is we're really looking forward to getting out there and trying ourselves and playing against these guys, you know, the usual audience, champions, these teams, and seeing what we can do. We're a bit of an unknown quantity, a lot of us, so I think there's a real excitement in the squad about that.
And you've got a settled squad in many ways, and, you know, obviously we'll touch on Andy's unfortunate retirement at the end of last season, but apart from that, you kept the core together, you've added a couple of good players. Chris Walsh seems to be a good signing for yourselves. Is that helpful that, Jamie, as you say, you've grown this squad together, they know each other's games?
Yeah, I think I've always said, you know, you get the club right first and the team starts to sort itself out. And I think over the last few years, that's had evidence, and I see no reason for it not. You know, some people are talking about, I didn't see the papers, but people had us tipped to go down.
Yeah, put my hand up now. But then we'll get this awkwardness out. I thought you might be in the bottom two, but
my aim is, you know, the own sort of mini league that's in there.
Mm.
You know, I'd like, you know, to be in pushing around the likes of Lexington St John's myself.
Right.
So,
fair play.
I think we've just got to take each game at a time. You know, we've got a couple of wins on the board now. Once we get, say, we've got Colby tomorrow, we get 3 points in that, then we can start looking a bit further up. But I think until we come up against the teams in around the middle of the table,
that'll be a good gauge.
That's your test.
Yeah.
Like I say, I don't think there's anything there to frighten the lads. You know, they'll learn from it and they'll play from it, but I think on our day, anyone up to probably, you know, outside the top six, that will give a damn good run for the money.
And what about, did you have an aim at the start of the season? Or as Jamie said, was it just take every game as it came?
I think that's a good mark. But, you know, from the teams that I've seen and when I've watched, I would aim for mid-table. I think it's a realistic aim.
We also had a good pre-season, though, and it's not easy to tell during the pre-season games because people are away, people are trying out different systems and things like that. But there wasn't really a game in that pre-season schedule that we were battered or a lot of pressure was placed upon us. We held our own, and I think it's a good sign.
Now, last year, speaking to you, Will, you mentioned, I think it was after the Woods Cup, that it was very much a long-term plan that was coming to fruition. And then, so this season, you know, consolidating yourself in the Premier League, what about long-term? Are you hoping to go even higher up, challenge for possible your Railway Cups and things like that?
I think if you look at the models, you know, the teams that have come up playing a brand of football or with an age of a team that's too old or, you know, what I would class as second division football, you've seen them tend to go down, you know, and not to point them out, but the likes of youth, you've had a bit of yo-yo football there. You know, they've got some good players now, and I think I expect them to come up. But in terms of the longer thing, if you look at what Corinthians have done, you know, I remember playing them 10 years ago in the second division, and they didn't really have a direction of where they were going. So, you know, we've got youth setups now at Braddon, which I'm involved in as well.
Yeah.
You know, we've got some good youngsters there, and they're probably 5-6 years away. But we've got a young team here, so you know, you start to get a blend of the teams. You've seen it's not done Corinthians any harm.
No.
I think we're trying to foster a decent team that's playing good football, a good group of lads. Attracts players like Stu Pacey, who's come down.
Yeah.
Chris Walsh, you know, I think it's set up for us. It's just taking the next step. But I think we need to consolidate ourselves first, obviously.
Well, it's very probably a noble attitude, really, isn't it? Instead of just being right, we've got to get to, we always say 12 to 14 points, and we'll try and shut it out. But the fact that you're aiming beyond that is,
I think you have to. I think if you have that mindset, you know, you have to have a winning mindset. And I think last year, the likes of Andy and that who'd won it, I said to the boys that they need to believe. And I think as the season went on and they started to believe, you could see it improve the performance. You know, they were in games where they were, I think our last six games last year, they were a goal down in every game, and they come back to win, and that's because they believed they were going to win. You believe you're hanging on, it's the wrong mindset for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you think the squad is coped with the loss of Andy?
I think, obviously, we missed the goals. There's no getting around that. We will miss the goals.
53 scored.
63
in the league, and 63 in three.
I think with Andy as well, it's not just the goals that he brings, it's he's up there.
And he's
just got this real desire to win. And I think, especially when you've got a young squad in Division 2, where there are some quite physical teams, and you get belted around a little bit some away games, having Andy up there, it's just, I can't even tell you how good that's been for our team. Just having his attitude, it's spread through the whole side last season.
But his, you know, obviously him being unavailable, it's given other people a chance to shoulder that blame, and it seems to be spreading across the team nicely. You know, everyone else is sort of trying to step their game up to fill that gap, would you say, Will?
Yeah, I mean, when you've got a pivotal striker like that, everything's played through them.
Mm-hmm.
But the chances are there. You know, he wasn't scoring 50-yard screamers every game.
No.
You know, he was, a lot of the games he was ruthless in front of goal, but the chances were there. So you put someone else there, they may not get the same amount of goals, because he did score the weird and wonderful. But as you see, we're still scoring goals. And we'll always create, because we've got creative players in the team. So, you know, like Jamie said, you're going to miss an Andy, but I think there's enough goals in the team.
And you said before, you've almost come up with the same style. You haven't really tinkered with it much.
No, I don't think there's any need to. You know, it's a system you get used to. You know, we'll probably, adapt more in games this year to who we're playing. You know, I think we could have put any system out last year and beaten the team that we played against.
Yeah.
Not to be too arrogant with that, but I felt we were the strongest team in the division as it came out. This year, you know, we'll probably have to change ourselves for certain games, different pitches, different teams, and you know, we're probably learning the division this year, whereas last year we knew what we were up against.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a lot of first division football for the last few years, so you know, I don't know too many of the players in that, you know, so it's learning there as well.
As I touched on briefly, there is an excitement of that with that kind of thing. Though, you know, going to these games, one week it might not work, but one week we can pull off a great result. You know,
we're
kind of an unknown quantity for ourselves as much as anybody else, and it's an exciting prospect.
Well, we'll look at the fixtures probably later on, but you know, you're home to Colby this weekend, which you already targeted as a game to win. If results go your way, you could find yourselves in the dizzy heights of the top four at the end of the weekend. It's not bad, is it?
Laughing about
it. This is all part of Will's plan.
Yeah.
He'd already booked Boxing Day off.
Yeah. That's the aim. You know, ultimately we want to, you know, want to push. I say we're not getting ahead of ourselves. We'll go every game at a time. But I think Colby, over the last few years, we've had some cracking games with him. To be honest. So, you know, I think if anyone will go down and watch it, we've never had an easy game against him. So, can't wait for it really. Weather pending.
Well, that's what I was saying. I was looking over your shoulder there, and it is hammering it down at the moment. Yeah. As the pitch, I know we're very early in the season, so is it in good nick?
It's wet.
Oh, man.
Honest. Can't argue with that.
Well, Will, obviously you have a name and like, a very famous. Well, who was born first? Was it Will Smith or Will Smith?
I don't know. I'm 40 in February, how old is he?
I think he's a bit older than that, yeah. But anyway, yeah, obviously you have a name and like. But did you know there's quite a few good lookalikes in Max Football, Dave, isn't there? We've come across on our many travels this, and then this comes off the back of me tweeting a picture. One of your pictures of Jerry Thompson, who was at Lino at your game on Saturday, wasn't it?
Yes, and it's sort of taken the Twitter sphere by storm, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's had quite a few likes, because I put a picture with Sean Connery, and there was quite a striking resemblance. I'm not talking Highlander, more retired James Bond.
Yeah.
But we've had in the past, I've said that Kevin Christian Peel looks like a young Marion Fellaini.
Absolutely.
Although Fellaini's afro is a bit out of hand at the moment.
And Fellaini wishes he was Kevin Christian.
That's a good point. But yeah. We asked for some more suggestions on Twitter. Footy Pod superfan Dave Matheson answered the call. Of course he did. I had an email within seconds. He says that Rick, first team manager at Douglaston District, Rick Delaney, he has more than a passing resemblance for British Bake Off, say, Paul Hollywood. I can sort of see it, but Hollywood's got a beard.
Yeah,
I'd say Gary Barlow.
This is what we want to debate,
isn't it?
Boys, Jamie, any more doppelgangers in the Swan squad?
We've got a few, haven't we?
Go on then.
We've got Mikey Hutton as Beetlejuice.
That's a great shout. Any others?
Assistant manager Michael Hegarty is Rodney.
Rodney.
That's Chris Crane, male model.
Yeah,
just generic male model. Fair dues, yeah. Well, I think we'll get this is going to be one that keeps running, don't you think?
I think so. We've hit a gem here.
Yeah, rich seam that will feed the podcast for a few weeks to come.
So tweet us in your suggestions, guys.
Yeah, at Manx Footy Blog, preferably with a picture so we can verify it and pass our judgment on it. Of course, that leads us nicely into our Twitter questions. We've had... pardon? Is that again? Sorry?
It doesn't matter.
Right, we've had... an absolute sackful, really, haven't we? We had to weed some out just for time restraints because, you know, people need to eat their lunch. And,
absolutely. You two are obviously a popular duo.
Yeah. Mark O'Neill, one of your colleagues at Braddon. Will, what is your favourite character for Harry Potter, and do you dress up as him when you go to Florida? Now, you might need to give us a bit of backstory on this.
Well, I do like my Harry Potter, to be fair.
I do.
To answer the question, Dumbledore, and yes, I do.
Straight into the point, that's what we like.
That's it. Corinthians star Josh Rhymes, who's actually away travelling at the moment. Question for you, Jamie. What's your opinion on peppers? You hate them or love them?
There's a bit of a story about that.
Go
one.
On then.
Well,
is it pod class clean? You know.
I don't think so.
Oh no.
Oh
no,
yeah.
So do you, yes, no, pot to peppers.
I like them myself. It's the individual and put in question who doesn't like them. I can't name them personally.
Okay, fair dues. Right, that's nice and cryptic, but that's the way we like it. Matty Quirk, Douglas Athletics beanpole goalkeeper. Jamie, who would win in a football match, Lakeside or the Wreck?
Got to say Lakeside, born and bred.
Representing.
It's a hotbed of youth football in the state.
Yeah, okay. Even when when it black and white days, when we were young, Dave, there was always a bit of a rivalry between Lakeside and Rec, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
But where were the games played? Traditionally on, did you go up the Rec one week and then down the Lakeside?
I would do both. So.
Oh, two legs, yeah. Aggregate score, or?
I think Lakeside always won overall.
Well, taste Dave, this is very Lakeside heavy, this. If you're from the Rec and want to get involved, feel free to join us in the debate on Twitter.
Hattie's tweeted in, question for both of you, I think. How rewarding was it last campaign, seeing three seasons of hard work culminate in one of the most successful seasons at Braddon?
I think, it was a great feeling. The league, winning the league was the one, really. Yeah. I think especially with a 19-point gap we had with Royals only to play two more games.
Yeah.
So the actual running was pretty ruthless. I think we were playing twice a week for 6 weeks. So seeing how much the boys put in there and the effort, turning out twice a week and having to win every game, there was some pressure on. So it was satisfying, but it was, I keep harping on it, was part of a bigger picture.
Yeah.
It's just part of the bigger picture. And, I want to put Braddon back to the top of Manx football. You know, it was there in the past, and it's a long-term thing, but why can't we?
How difficult was it to keep the squad focused? Because you had a run over Christmas where you didn't play for like 6 weeks, didn't you? And then all of a sudden, as you say, you were playing 2-3 games a week, and it was pretty intense.
I didn't think it wasn't as difficult. They train, we're a fit side, they train hard. I think probably some of the other teams would, a longer break like that would struggle more.
Yeah,
right. The age of them, and they train. Train as hard as any team I've played in, to be honest.
I think it enabled us to, because we were playing so many games in such a short time, we carried a lot of good form into that. A couple of poorish performances before that run that we still got wins, but by the time we got into the run, we were playing at near our peaks, and we just got a lot of games out of the way, a lot of wins on the board, and I think adversity actually helped us in the end.
It was ruthless, though.
Yeah.
What the lads put themselves through, you don't have Premiership style squads. No. So I had lads with carrying injuries, knocks, and they put the bodies on the line, literally with some of them.
Now the star of many a podcast, intentionally or unintentionally, Joey Andrews
likes to think of his questions while he's in the shower.
Yeah, he's been a bit quiet this year. I don't know whether this is the tolls of the rigors of the Premier League meaning. Yeah.
He's not quiet for us.
Or whether he's just not as showering as much. Well, but he's been in. He sent a couple in. I've selected. I think is his most appropriate. Will, if you had a choice between Braddon winning the Railway Cup or Forest winning the Premier League, what would you choose?
No brainer. Braddon every day.
Oh, fair play.
Loyal, like it.
That's it. There can't be many Forest fans on the other man.
More than you think. sleeping giants.
I've got. They've had not a bad start to the season. Although I stupidly bet on them to beat Chelsea the other night in a 20p accumulator, and that torpedoed me, along with Real Betis scoring a 94-minute winner.
It's always the way, though, isn't it?
It's always Forest and Real Madrid always let me down.
Now, possibly one of the best questions we've had this season so far. This is for you, Jamie, from Tommy Richmond. Who'd win in a fight between Anthony Joshua and a butter smeared Joseph Cowan?
I'm going to go for Joseph Cowan. He looks like a nice, cuddly, smiley guy, but once he's butted up, he's a tough, tough customer.
Is this something we could be seeing on maybe a McGregor undercard sometime soon? Well,
that's the way it's going, isn't it? Possibly, yeah.
Another podcast Twitter question favourite, Adrian Rashid. Jamie, after talking to you in the trap on your recent club night, I wanted to know, what pizza did you end up having?
I think ham and sweet corn.
Oh, ham and sweet corn.
Pizzaiolo with an aioli dip.
Oh, nice, right, okay. Do you remember talking to Agent Rashid? Or
well, I don't think I'm high profile enough to be put into a stable of players, so...
I saw he'd, on his social media page, the Braddon Swans trip to Ramsey had featured quite heavily. He does seem to have a way with words, shall we say.
Well, that's why you got into 4-5-1 this season.
He did, and I can confirm, this is another, he will be our Christmas special guest, Agent Rashid.
Oh, wow.
Live via...
quite a character.
Well, I via telefax from Parliament Square. Agent Rashid will be appearing on the podcast. So you're gonna have to make sure you're here for that one, Dave.
I'll try not to be ill for a change.
Yeah. He's toyed. He's teased me with the talk of official merchandise.
Oof. But we can't, you know, you can't be biased. You know, if you're wearing Youthy merch or whatever it is.
Oh, it's not Youthy merch, it's Agent Rashid merch.
Okay, okay.
So a broken exclusive there. I probably shouldn't have, but there you go. Sorry about that, Agent. Your next question from Beetlejuice himself, Michael Hutton. When's the next club night out? I think that might be on the back of that.
I suppose it depends when he's next away.
Good answer. Right, before we look ahead to Saturday's fixtures, Dave, you caught up with Chris McKenna after Saturday's romp, a 7-1 win. I had to double check that twice.
Didn't see that score coming, but yeah, Colby were much the better side. Ramsey were a bit out of sorts.
Danny Lane, a name for these two boys to watch out for.
Yeah, 16 year old small live wire forward, bagged himself 4 goals.
Scored a couple of games in pre season.
Good little player, so yeah, definitely one to watch out for. I think obviously this weekend's game will be a lot closer. But yeah, Chris was happy after this, as you can imagine.
Let's have a listen to what he had to say now.
Right, Chris, I spoke to club legend Ollie Swales before the match, and he was saying that the 1-1 score last week wasn't really reflective of the performance, and you could have been 4 or 5 nil up before Royal scored. Today, the other way around, well, not the other way around, but you were out of sight at half time. What did you make of that first half performance?
I was just really happy because we were first to everything, first in the air, first on the ground, picked up the pieces, and from there we were just able to get them behind them, get them turned, get them under pressure, and just never let up from there, really.
And you had the cracking first goal from Jim to settle any nerves?
Yeah, I honestly couldn't tell if it was going in or not. I was kind of stood there with my mouth open and that. Wasn't sure what was happening, but it sailed in, so we were well happy with that.
Yeah, and you fought hard across the pitch. I mean, Ramsey, once you guys were 2-0 up, Ramsey threatened a bit of a comeback. They started to play a bit better, but then the third goal sort of killed the game a bit.
I mean, it was touch and go, that penalty that Matty saved. That was a big turning point, I think. If they had scored that, we might have had a bit of a comeback on our hands, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. And to be fair, early on, when you 1-0 up, your keeper had to pull off a really good save one-on-one.
Ramsey was a very good save as well.
So, you know, it wasn't all plain sailing, but you, I think the whole team kept their focus, and it was good. And when you've got a player like Danny Lane, I mean, a talented youngster, it's his first season in this.
It is. He only turned 16 in May, so he's burst onto the scene today, really.
Not bad, 4 goals.
He's just a young fella, got swagger about him, knows where the back of the net is, so we're delighted to have him in the team.
He seems to form a reasonable combination with Jim and the other players around him, with Fretwell. It's quite nice to see that, because it's obviously he's only just really come into the team, but he's already...
You wouldn't think it though, he's always telling everyone that side to play, but I'll let him off today because he has been superb.
Absolutely. So what do you make of your season so far?
Well, you know, we didn't start well. We had away at St Mary's. That was a tough defeat. I mean, they were just a bit more comfortable on the ball and on the ball than we were. Laxey was very good against us on the Wednesday night. 6-0, I don't know, maybe 6-2 or 3. I think we had chances to score goals, not even a fairer score. Last week was really one of those nip and tucks. It was a case of both teams were, I think, were so nervous. Neither wanted to lose rather than either wanted to go out there and win it.
Yeah, well, if you are to be involved in a relegation fight this season, those are the games you need to pick points
up. Yeah, I mean, today was massive for that in that respect. And we just hope a few of the results go our way elsewhere.
It looks like, you know, most of the teams can take points off each other.
It does, yeah. It's going to be a tricky season. Like, no disrespect to Ayr, but last year they really, really struggled.
Yeah.
So we got 6 points there. Yeah. But they're not going to be coming, those so-called easier points this season. It's going to, we have to scrap for everything every week.
But confident, you'd say?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, especially if we perform like today.
Fantastic. Well done.
Right, chaps, welcome back. It's the fifth. We're on the fifth day? Fifth, Max?
I've lost count already.
Time flies when you're having fun or
eating
about
biscuits.
Eating too many biscuits. We've still got the Brandon boys still here. Dave, you're still here.
Just about.
Jamie and Will are still here. We're going to look at Saturday's fixtures, starting off in the Canada Life Premier League. With the game we've just mentioned before Chris's interview, Brandon versus Colby.
This could be a good one.
I'm going to this one, hopefully, with me wellies and me smartphone to offer an array of tweets. Lads, are you confident going into it?
Yeah, we're always confident, yeah. A couple of lads away. But like I said, we've had, you don't get many weeks in Manx football where you haven't got players away. I think we're good for a home win. We're taking on at our pitch. So, but I say the ball always give us a good game. So, looking forward to it.
Colby, Dave played very well, as you touched on, against Ramsey last week. It's going to be a good game, this, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've had a, you know, that was their first win of the season, so it's not been the easiest of starts for them, but they'll be much more confident after that. But, you know, it's going to be a totally different prospect. I think Ramsey just had an off day last week. They were just out of sorts, weren't really at the races. They lost a goal after 2 minutes, so it was uphill from there. I can't see anything like that happening this weekend. I think it'll be fought tooth and nail, this one, for most of the game. So this one could go either way.
Jamie, what are you thinking? Comfortable home win?
I mean, like Will said, they always put up a fight, but I think we've made a good start. We've played all right against Laxey. Caved a bit in the end. Two good performances since then. I think we're on a good run. I'm quietly confident.
I'm going to go for 3-2 Braddon, I think. There's going to be goals in this one. I was going to, and I just changed my mind even as I was saying that, because I was going to go for a draw, but I think Braddon will
They've convinced
win.
You.
They have convinced me. The fact they're both sat here has convinced me to go.
Delaney winner.
Delaney winner.
They don't come along very often.
Dave, are you going to back that up? Or
I think Braddon will probably just about edge this, but it will be tough.
That'll be 9 points then. The Dizzying Heights at 9 points, and as we said, possibly top four come Saturday tea time. See, that depend on other results, but it could be a fantastic start to the season.
Bassey will probably be down watching.
Yes, that's it. Just nip down around the corner. Who else played Saturday? St Mary's Old Boys, a game that will definitely be on the old weather pitch. The Bowl. This should be a good game between two teams that are sort of in that top six mix.
Yeah,
the top six mix.
They were almost in that little mini league outside the top two, really, aren't they? But Old Boys got their first win of the season last week against Douglas Athletic. St Mary's, though, they've had a tough start to the season, to be honest, but they've got the squad there. I think this one could end in a draw.
I think it will be a close game. Obviously, you guys haven't met either of these teams, but
in both pre-season.
And were you impressed?
I would say I thought they're both good sides. I think there's more in the locker from St Mary's, more match winners in there for me.
Yeah.
So it'd be close, but I think maybe 2-1 St Mary's.
Jamie?
Same, pretty much.
Another close game, potentially, at Glen Road. Laxey St George's. Laxey, surprised me how heavily they lost last week to Peel. 6-1
at the end. Yeah, but it was Peel's first game back at home, wasn't it? So I think they were buoyed by that. You guys have obviously played Laxey. What did you make of them?
Some good youngsters, in there?
Some good youngsters, yeah. I know Dave called it quite well. Speaking to him.
The Last Samurai.
Yeah. I just think, they're probably a bit of a crossroads, aren't they? They want to bringing them young lads in now, and they'll only get better for it. So they were worthy winners against us. They played some nice football and got some goal threat.
Yeah,
probably they'll concede as well. So they'll have some exciting games this year.
This will be a tough test for them, though. Geordies seem to be just ominously slotting up through the gears. Laxey, they play with no fear, though. I have to say, they gave Corinthians a good game when I watched them. It was only 79th minute deflected strike that gave them the win on that day. But I still would have to favour St George's for the points in this one.
Absolutely, yeah. But Laxey will put up a good fight.
They've got that no fear you were talking about instilled with your younger players. But they'll just there's a couple of lads, Joe Walters, Matty Wilkinson. We might have Matty next week. Bit of breaking podcast news.
They
just run. They love running at players, which is something you don't really see a massive amount in Max football. Where else we got? Douglas Athletic, St John's. Two of those teams you said you were targeting at the start of the season. That'll be another close game at Springfield Road.
Both sides are without a win yet this season, so this is a good opportunity for one of them to do that. Athletic put up a good fight against the Old Boys, and St John's as well. It's been a tough start for them, but they've also had a tough run of fixtures. So, I reckon St John's will probably just about nick this, but again, it could go either way.
I reckon home advantage, though. I reckon Dafka. I think if it was the reverse of the fixture, I'd go St John's, but I think Dafka's pitch is not difficult to play on, and they know how to play it. So I would draw a Dafka win for me.
Jamie?
Yeah, like Will said, I mean, going down there, you know you're getting a tough game. Small pitch, quite a big team. I'd say Dafka myself.
With Dafka, I've had a start that mirrors Everton in many ways. A lot of tough fixtures.
Geordies.
Culminating with a 14-0 hammering at the hands of Geordies. Brian will have them fired up for this one. And as you touched on before, Will, it's all about beating the teams around you. In these
it's a big
two
game. They'll both be targeting something near the same spot. So that'll be a big game for them.
Douglas Royal Peel. Royal, talking of tough starts, Royal have had a pretty tough one. Obviously, they've come up with you guys last season. They've had a change at the helm. Obviously, yeah, Chris Bean's in charge now.
I would say, you know, they've had some tough results, but I think the start will get worse for them for the games, you know, because they've had a lot of the teams that they thought were being in and around them early doors. And, you know, we were in the same situation. So, you know, whether it comes off someone's arse and you win 1-0, they're the games you've got to win.
Yeah.
And they've probably been on the back end of a few of those. But again, you know, I know the Fitzy and that, you've got young lads in the combi and that coming through. So I think Chris is probably trying to grow something there.
Yeah, definitely. But Peel will be high on life at the moment after being returning to the Sunset City for whippies and all. So they'll be... they should be comfortable winners in this one, you suggest?
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, I saw Dougie Royal on the opening day of the season against Ramsey, you know, one of those games which they'd be hoping to get points from. But, you know, they just weren't clinical enough up front. There was just a little bit lightweight there. Craig Dolman came off the bench. Mm. If they can get him firing, you know, they've got a good chance. But against Peel, you know, the Westerners have got to be favourites for this.
And I think, talking of Dolman, I think he hobbled off injured last week while playing at centre-back. So could be, they could be scratching about again for a squad this Saturday. And not what you need when Peel come into town, especially with several players trying to impress ahead of the Interleague Cup and the Umbro Quadrangular in the next couple of weeks. So I think we're all going for an away win here. last game in the top flight on Saturday sees Ramsey take on Corinthians. Corinthians, I mentioned this when they took on Peel, Laxey the other week. This is the sort of games they need to win if they're going to be title challengers, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, by their own admission, I don't think they've been playing quite as good as they'd hoped. They've been scraping a few wins, but then again, that is a sign of a good side.
Yeah, I think I put that the other day in my preview there.
There you go. While Ramsey won't be, you know, I think they'll be a different proposition than they were last weekend.
Mm.
Every team has a bad day, and that was just when everything could have gone wrong, went wrong for them, and it should be different, and home advantage will obviously help them, but I'd expect Corinthians to walk away with 3 points in this.
How easy is it to put a bad result behind you? Well, you know, is it easier said than done, or does it hang over for the first few days of the week? Or?
It depends on the character of your lads. You know, it grates on you. You know, we had a couple last year where we were disappointed, and the Laxey game this year. But I think, like I say, I think it's where you find the character of your boys. You get together as a club. Training's important the next week. Mm-hmm. You know, how you train, how you react. And I think in that division, especially for the teams outside the top six, if you don't react well to it, then you know you'll be going back down.
That's bad runs.
I think that's something we highlighted at the start of the season. We're going in a transition from last season where we're winning pretty much every game, and then to go to this season, like Will said, we are realistically going to lose a few games. And how we react to that is going to be a big part of our season, I think.
Well, how you know, put yourselves at Ramsey, a similar team to you, and they've got quite a lot of youngsters. Will they be going into that match with the mindset, we've just got to keep the score down in this, or is it something like, well, maybe we may nick a point? Because Ballaclone is traditionally quite a hard place to go and get results from.
Yeah, it depends how they set themselves up. I thought when we played Ramsey, I don't know if that's reflective. I thought they were, you know, played nice football, good going football, good going forward, probably a little wobbly at the back.
Yeah.
So it depends how they set. If they're going to set themselves to have a go at Corinthians, fair play to them. But you know that might come back to bite them.
Yeah,
they are a very young side as well.
I thought a lot of nice footballers that you could see over the next 2 years.
Yeah, definitely.
That would grow, you know, good touch. Whether they could get bullied by a few teams in, you know, until they've developed physically a bit more, I don't know.
Is it easy to get young players on the LMA to buy into the idea of a project though, or are they all wanting instant success? And you know, I suppose it's a question I should be asking you, Jamie. You know, is it something? Do you think people like to buy into a project, or is it I just want to be in a winning team that wins stuff every year?
It's a tough one, really. I think when they come out of junior football, there's an element of I want success. But I think when you get to say your early 20s, I think a lot of lads are a lot more open to a project style thing like Bradman. So you've seen it's happened with us. Players like Chris Crane, Joe Andrews, you know, Pacey have come from St Mary's, clubs like that, into us, and you know, everyone can see what we're trying to build, and I think the old, as you get a little bit older, it becomes a lot more attractive.
Well, I think we've talked about it on a few podcasts before. People have said it would mean more in the long term to win something when you've been there from the start than it is just to come in on that maybe that last run of the ladder.
Yeah, I've seen that at the end of last year. Yeah. You know, and you see it with any player, you know, you journey around teams when you've part of something, you know, one league title to three, if you're winning it with something that you've been within for 10 years, it means far more.
Yeah,
you know, I think some players, to be fair, over here, they jump around, they go to the top clubs too easily, you know, and they get overloaded, you know. I've never understood the idea of someone going to play combination football. If you're a combination standard footballer, you know, it's a great division. But if you can play, you should play at the top level and the best level you can. And I think hopefully over the next couple of years, you'll see more lads coming down to these almost second tier in the first division clubs to actually go and they'll improve.
Yeah.
They won't improve playing in the combination.
No.
You know? And as Jamie said, you know, we've had lads that were around the fringes of some of these teams that's come down. And, you know, I think they're far better. Even some of them around Ireland ability.
Yeah.
Like, improving. Wow. And you have to play regularly to do that and be part of something.
Yeah. But it's buying into that. And it was just interesting what I was just thinking there. Because it's good that... It's almost the football manager approach, isn't it?
Yeah. You just want to drop your Alba Athletic team in there again.
Still in the SPL.
Right, Dave, your star new feature.
Yeah, well, before I go into that, just a couple of little stats, a couple of little things from last weekend.
I love a stat, Dave.
Well, and I know you tweeted this earlier this week, which was a good one, but across the 23 games last week, on Saturday, there were 158 goals.
Mm.
An average of 6.8, so it's certainly been an entertaining
stat. People that say Manx football isn't entertaining are sadly wrong, aren't they?
Yeah,
that's probably that's sort of backed up by the fact, was it 11 clean sheets in the Premier League since 2007?
Yeah.
Yeah, so ridiculous. The defending is an art that maybe needs working on.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing, with the Douglas High School Old Boys versus Douglas Athletic game,
yeah,
there were four quirks played in that game.
Huh?
So you had Matty Quirk, obviously, for Dafka.
Yeah.
John Quirk, David Quirk, and Gary Quirk. So four of them, just putting a question out there, really. Do you know, or does anyone know of any other matches which have had more than four? I know with Peel, over the years, they've had a lot of Kellys. And
yeah.
Obviously, last week, they had Mark Kelly, John Kelly, and Sean Kelly all playing in one. And then they had Greg Kelly playing in the combi.
Four? Go on. Oh, four of course. Brothers. Yeah, you have.
We've got the O'Neills, the four brothers.
Yeah.
There you go.
And you signed Tom, you coming in the summer? Tom. Tom. So, yeah. So, there you go, Dave. You answered the question. Perfect. Four related. Seems to be
we good. Had all Delaney central midfield for a season as well.
Wow.
Myself, my brother.
There you go.
So, this was quicker than I expected.
But is Matty related to the three quirks? Or have you took a punt there?
I don't actually know.
Classic Dave Norton.
I never said they're related. I just said the same names.
They're from Peel, they'll be related.
Anyway, moving on to Combi Corner.
Combi Corner. Combi Corner. That's what, there you go, that's the jingle.
It's a stat that you wanted me to put in here, Andy, but yep. Damien Wood, for youth, he's right on fire at the start of the season. He's already bagged 15 goals in four games. It's not a bad way to...
As Will says, though, he should be going for the first team now, shouldn't he? And he used to play for Laxey and was, I think, junior Ireland at one point, so he's obviously got the skills to pay the bills, so that's what he shouldn't be... that he should be pushing forward.
Should be knocking on the manager's door there.
Yeah.
Shout out to Douglas Royal Combi, obviously got up and they've got two wins from four already. I know obviously the first team haven't had the best of starts, but the Combi side are doing pretty well. Special mention to Malou and Eyre. Now both of their combination sides folded last year for various reasons, but both have started the season really well in impressive form. Malou have won three of their games, and Eyre have won two. So yeah, it's a good start and it's good to see that these clubs have managed to resurrect their combi sides.
Yeah, I think the Malou had a massive drive at the recruitment drive over the summer, didn't they? With their headlined by their free subs.
Absolutely.
Did you guys think about that? We had the free subs. Do you think this is a
Goldsmiths won't get their island in the Caribbean by the free subs?
Do you think it would be a fair play? They tried something just to.
It's not a lot of money for people to pay. You know, you know, if you want to improve the facilities and that. What do you get in life for free?
Right.
I think most of the clubs are around £200, you know, £20 a month. What's that now? These and reduced subs for juniors. I think those are about £70 for juniors or something.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of money to pay, you know.
But if Malou obviously felt they were in the financial position to do it, you know, they've probably rolled the dice just to see what happens. We've decided what's going to happen next year. But yeah. The proof will be in the pudding. If they have a good season, they'll probably retain most of that squad, won't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
Sorry, Dave, I cut in on Combi Corner there.
Fine, mate, crack on. But anyway, the last thing, it was just for gyms, they're on the lookout for some new players, first team and Combi, so if anyone is interested, get
they've got a very nice kit this year, haven't they?
Oh, yes.
Tony Shules modelled it on Twitter. It's a cross between, it's almost like a tie-dye Argentina kit.
Wow.
Yeah.
So who doesn't want to play in that?
Exactly.
We've got one of them new kit coming out on Saturday. Have you? Yeah.
Oh, right.
We'll be putting Chris Crane out in it in a nice, nice spray on. You know, so
home or away? Home?
Both.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
So any ladies out there? You know.
Well, okay. All right.
You can get the Twitter. I'll take
some pictures. Yeah. Make sure they get up. So
the problem is they're a bit tight.
You need to keep training them.
Are they slim fit?
Yeah. They are. Yeah.
So what brand have you gone for pump for this year?
And Adidas, I think. Oh, really? And Adidas and a Nike away kit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Cross brand. It's cross brand.
Yeah.
Fair play. Anything else, Dave? You still?
No, on? That's it. That's all good. Well done.
I enjoyed Comic Corner again this week. And we had a bit of reaction to Comic Corner last week, so we'll keep it going.
It wasn't all positive last week, but yeah.
No, I'm afraid the death threats are just part of the job.
Yeah.
But, right, let's look ahead to Division 2. There's 6 games on Saturday, as always. Starting with the game you're going to, Malou, the aforementioned Malou versus Paul Rose.
Yeah, it should be a good one, this. And there is obviously the added spice that Darragh Flanagan will be going up against his old side.
And Dale Walker. And Dale. Peter Dunne.
Exactly.
And Daniel Foster, who's in the squad.
There you go. So, yeah, this should be a good one, this. Malou, they lost the Southern Derby a couple weeks ago, and in fine style.
I think that's only half the story there, though, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So they'll be keen to get back to winning ways. Pulley are up to third in the league, So they're going strong.
I watched Pulley last week against Union Mills, games that again showcased the island's best and worst defending. Stephen Glover, what a signing for them. Obviously, you had Andy last year, but Steve could potentially do the same to Paul Rose. He scored in 12, 13, like that.
Hat-trick last week, wasn't it? Yeah.
So he is a man on fire, as it were. So he should be the man to... He could potentially win this game on his own.
I think so, yeah. It's those sort of players that make the difference in these. But this is going to be hard fought. Could go either way. But I fancy Pulley to just nick this one.
And Pulley, another team with quite a few youngsters, actually. I was quite impressed last week. Owen Quayle and the like. They were put a good shift. Barry English is a crafty operator at that level as well. He's taken up a slightly deeper role with playing off Stephen this year, but he set up a couple of goals as well. So they are a team to watch, I'd say, Pulley.
Definitely, yeah.
But Malou, you know, we had high hopes for Malou at the start of the season. Is it a case that, if they lose this, they're going to be out of the top four right now?
No, I think the top teams, the top 6-7 teams, it's going to be so close between them. On their day, there's not much to choose between them. Just about who can stay fit and get the wins together. But yeah, I don't think this result will define the season, but it could play a big role further down the line. But
lads, Pulley have always been there or thereabouts in Division 2. Maybe arguably underachieved with some of the players they've had in the past.
I think they've probably got the best chance that they've got. I think for them, a good season would be getting into the top four.
Yeah.
I don't think they've, for me, Rycobb and Foxdale,
yeah,
probably the two teams to beat in the division. The rest will be competing for that. I think they'll be competing for the top four. Mm-hmm. Looking at the result last week,
yeah, it's a good point.
Their games you've got to win.
Yeah,
we probably lost 2 games all season, and you have the slip ups, but no offense to Governors, mm-hmm. It's a great result for them, but if you're going for the title, it's a game you have to win.
And Jamie, we've already said it many times this season already. I think Division 2 is shaping up to be probably the closest it's been for many a year. There isn't the 2 standout or 3 standout teams you've had in the past. There's,
I don't know. I think Rycobb personally will.
Yeah.
Rycobb and Foxdale. Foxdale lost Aaron this year. I would see Rycobb winning the league, and I think there'd only be Foxdale that will be competing with them. That's my own.
I think Castletown will be in the mix as well. I think that the top end of their performance, I think, is probably the best in the league from what we've played against
them.
We had a couple of good results against them last season, but going into the games, they've got quality, and they did show it in patches. I just think, like the result last week, they've got to maintain it across the season.
Yeah, consistency is key, isn't it, as we always say. Castletown themselves are away at Moran this week. Another good test, really. Moran are one of those teams that bubble under in the top 6 mix, and they're another young team.
Young when they played them last year, I think we beat them 2-0 on a bobbly pitch away last year, and it was a hard game. It's probably a bit of good finishing that we beat them. Other than that, probably lack a little bit of firepower.
Yeah.
At the top end, but the competitive, move the ball. It's good to see these teams putting the young lads in. They will only, as long as they keep them, it's got to be a longer thing than a season.
I was going to talk about Paul Guyver at Pulley, but Dave brought it around. It's a project mentality, isn't he? He's not just going to be there. He seems to be committed to the course, isn't he?
He is, but he also places a lot of trust in his players. They don't shirk a challenge or anything like that. They'll get stuck in despite their age, and And it does bode well for the future for them.
But Castletown is about Ian Dowie's bounce back ability this week, isn't it? They, as Will said, they need to start winning if they're going to be up there at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, they're flying high. They were top of the table heading into last weekend's game. But, you know, fair play to Governors. That's a cracking result for them and Tom Chamberlain. But yeah, for Castletown, it'll be... I think Rich Foden will probably still be absent, which is obviously a big loss. But the rest of the players they've got, you know, they've got the strength there to get the 3 points in this game, but I think it'll be tough.
Unimills have been so quite unlucky this year. I think they've lost every game by one or two goals.
Yeah, you obviously watched them play last year.
I did. Will Miller still looks a standout player at the back for them. Kyle Urin bagged a couple of goals for them up front. Luke Booth is a good talent as well, but especially in Division 2, I think he'll score a lot of goals and create a lot of goals this season. They just looked a little bit light of a defensive midfielder. Pulley were running through them at times last week. So I think this will be a good test for them again against Ayr. Ayr have been a bit inconsistent.
Yeah, they have. But your man Dean Tate was back scoring last weekend, I believe. So, you know, get him on form and Ayr have definitely got a chance. So...
What do you think, lads? Mills, Ayr, this is a...
Mills for me.
Mills, Jamie?
I don't know that much about either team, to be honest. Mm. I haven't never them been in the first division last season, so yeah, a bit of an unknown quantity for me.
Yeah, I think Mills have lost a few over the summer. They've still got a decent enough squad there, and again, another team that are trying to blood the youngsters, so
yeah,
I'll be interested to see how they get on. Jim's Onken. Now, Jim's haven't had the best of starts. You've already mentioned they're on the lookout for players to bolster their numbers. But
Another side, very young team. Mm. You know, a lot of young players in that squad. They do have some more experienced players that mixed in, but some of them can't play week in, week out. So it's been a tough start for them.
And Jim's, of course, lost the spine that's been that spine of that team for a long time. He played with maybe Georgie's Will, the likes of Mark Connor and Barry Harding have both come back to Geordie's this season.
I didn't realise that. Maybe why they're a bit light in experience.
So that, you know, they've obviously been big players for Jim's over the season. It's we say it all the time, though. It's a cliche. It's a year of transition for Tony Sewell and the boys at Tramode, isn't it?
Certainly is. But he's, you know, Tony's shown in the past that he can pull off the results on his day. Onken, though, they're a strong side. Yeah. They'll be hoping to, you know, challenge for the top four this season, so this is a must-win game for them.
Much mentioned the Reese brothers, sorry, Will, but there were three of them there. So
exactly.
Your quest for people with the same names.
That's it.
I won't ask you to name who's who, because I know you struggle with that.
I struggle with everything these days, right?
I think Con can have a big couple of years, because the youth football is really strong.
Yeah.
You know, they've got such a good youth set up there, which, you know, over the next 4 or 5 years, it'd be interesting to see what they bring through, because, you know, they've got some of the best youngsters on the island, so how they transition them into the senior team will be critical for them, because if they do it right, you know, I think they really could be a force in Manx football again.
Yeah. Difficult team to play against Duncan. It's not a very nice experience, truth be told, playing against them. Not that much quality at the top end of the pitch, but they just make it difficult for you.
But a massive catchment area, we were joking before about Lakeside and the Wreck and stuff, but, you know, I know Governors are now coming up the top end a little bit, but Onken, you have to say, they're pretty untapped source, really, haven't they?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, they've got a good setup across the board, and, you know, you mentioned the youth football, the youth teams there. We had Tristan on last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
And, you know, he was full of praise for it.
Another project, because he was saying the same thing, is, you know, it's not just the short term and long term they're working for.
You've seen it, Laxey, though, it's how they transition, though. How you bring them through, you know, we've only got the one youth team, you know, sort of the dream for us is to actually bring them all in together, whereas the team that's got multiple teams, you know, you bring in three of one team and three of another and they want to play with their mates, so how you transition them teams, you'll see the Geordie lads, you know, they all came through at the same time, they were all mates in the same group, so you've got to get the best of your group to go and sort of hang your hat on as you come through, and it's how one can do that for me.
Douglas and District Michael United, D&D.
Well,
I would say favourite for this one, but there you go.
Yeah, Michael still just a bit of an unknown quantity this year. They've got Nick Hurt back and other players. They just haven't really got off to a start yet this season. But D&D, on their day, we always say it, but they can always pull off a big result, a surprise result. this is going to be close. I just wouldn't be surprised if this was a rare draw.
I noticed you'd incurred the wrath of Matheson again last week with by saying it was the first time that D&D had both won on the same day or something in a while, but then there was an exact date, which was...
It was 11 months ago, apparently, the last time they...
Well, I thought you said it was shorter than that.
I think you said 11 months ago.
But yeah, Stubbs District, I'd say your favourite for this, so they'll probably go and lose it now. They don't seem to enjoy going into games as favourites.
Exactly.
I'm going for D&D. I was down there for a couple of years. I had a great time down there. Very good lads.
They're a very social bunch, as we've seen from Hattie's exclusive on the coach trip the other week. But yes, they seem to have a number of players coming every summer, and it's all about trying to bed them into the current lineup, isn't it?
It is. They lost a few to Maloof this summer with all their free subs.
Oh, yeah.
They lost to Scutcheon the last couple of days of the transfer.
Sam Tipper and Luke Callister, is it?
Yeah, so, you know, they haven't really got as many numbers in the squad now, but, you know, the first team's still good, and I think, you know, this is a good chance for them to get some more points on the board.
They're fantastic. My daughter plays in the with Rick. In the under-8s, the girls' right. football, and what they're putting in, I mean, like Rick running an under-8 girls' team and the senior team, again, they're putting a lot into the youth setup in that, so it's fantastic for them. He puts so much energy into it, it's really, really great to see with the girls.
Good. So that's good. Governors Athletic, last week's headline makers, are at home to Foxdale. Can they make lightning strike twice, Dave?
I think last week's result will probably fire a warning shot to everyone else, so I think Foxdale probably won't succumb. And
I think we chatted about this last time you were on, actually. The Bemahague pitch, boys, is it a difficult one to play on? Or
we won 10-0 last year, so it wasn't too bad.
Because I was injured, wasn't it?
But it's quite a bouncy pitch, and it's quite exposed as well, isn't
you
it?
You have to set up, you know, slightly different. It's very narrow. So, you know, you use what you do well on that pitch, but you have to change your game a little bit, but once you adapt to it, it should be a big advantage for them.
Yeah. I think as they grow, I think that'll become more of a weapon, because it's the sort of game you just get out of the way.
Right.
It's not a very nice place to play, but you just, yeah. But as they grow as a side, I think they'll come into their own.
But he's, so he's got something to work on now, though, isn't he?
A win does wonders for confidence, doesn't it? But Foxdale, you look at that team. Yes, they lost Darren Castain, as you mentioned before, but
Jay Chatwood's on fire. Yeah, I think he's second in the goal scoring standings behind Steve Glover, and
good
he.
Player.
And he seems to have taken on the goal-scoring mantle. Again, as you said, well, these are the games you have to get the 3 points in if you're going to be up there at the end of the season.
Yeah, I was impressed with Foxdale last year. I think they were probably the second best team in our division.
Right.
I thought, you know, if they'd have got a couple of results the other way, they probably should have come up.
Right. Well, interesting to see if they do it this time, second time around, but there you go. Right, before we finish, quick get well soon to former podcast guest and the new Douglas Royal keeper, Christian Selmer, who saw on his Instagrams had knee surgery yesterday.
Well, fingers crossed for a speedy recovery.
Yeah, and best of luck also to, I think, also Chris Carroll commented on this, Corinthians Chris Carroll, who's got his op next week as well, so going through knees like a, I don't know what, up at Nobles at the moment, so.
Well, he was unlucky with that. He suffered that in the Allen games, didn't he? And he was playing well at the time, so the sooner he gets back, the better.
He's one of my good mates, Chris, so I've got to give him a shout-out.
Is it next week? Do you know, Jamie? Do you think I think he put something on.
I think it is next week, yeah. I'm just happy he's not playing against us.
And it's get well soon, corner. It's been becoming a bit of a regular occurrence after Rob Cowan broke his leg last week. So.
That's almost as good as the lookalikes, this.
Yeah. Right, guys, thanks for coming in. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Much appreciated. I'm sorry there wasn't any biscuits.
Shocking.
The rain's gone off now. You probably could have nipped across. So.
You can bring some biscuits down on Saturday.
Good luck. Yeah, I will. So was it chocolate boar buns you were after, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mid-game, Jamie. We'll have anything.
We'll have anything.
Best luck for this tomorrow and the rest of the season. As I say, I'll see you on Saturday, hopefully, if the weather's fine. So.
Thanks for coming in again.
You can listen to all of the Manx Footy pods, including last season's back catalogue, online at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football. Of course, we're available on TuneIn now and iTunes, for those of you who are that way inclined. Dave, you like to get it iTunes, don't you?
Yeah, drops in on my iPhone every week. It's,
whether you want it or not.
Yeah, it's like magic. Can't wait.
Right, finally, keep your eyes glued to Twitter for updates from Saturday's matches. Where are you, Dave? You're at Maloon Pulley, aren't you?
Yeah, it's a rare trip down to Clagmere for me. I haven't been down for a couple of years, so looking forward to it.
There'll be tweets from that game, and I will, of course, be at Braddon versus Colby. So, at Manx Footy Blog for that. Until next week.
Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now.